From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friday edition of Washington Watch. Evan Fowler sitting in today from Bot Radio Network for our friend Tony Perkins. And I'm sure after what happened today, he wishes he were here. Well, I'm going to try to help express perhaps some of his thoughts about this Equality Act. I'm going to kick off the show with some bad news today. Unfortunately, the House of Representatives, that's a funny name for a group that's doing what they did today. They're supposed to represent us, but I don't think they did a very good job, or at least the ones that voted for this thing didn't. They passed the so-called Equality Act today on a vote of 236 to 173 with unanimous support from the Democratic caucus. No big surprise there, huh? I'll talk with Republican Congressman Brian Babin of Texas. In segment two, Missouri's Republican-controlled Senate passed a strong pro-life bill, super strong, I'd call it, which would ban abortions at 8 weeks of pregnancy. I'll talk with Republican Missouri Senator Bob Onder. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the latest in the developing tensions between Iran and America with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He's Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council. And at 42 past the hour in the last segment, North Korea is the most oppressive place for Christians to live in the world, according to the Open Doors World Watch List. I'll talk with Wayne Peterson with Far East Broadcasting Company about a new 250,000-watt superstation that they're going to build that will reach the entire country of North Korea with the gospel of Christ. That is exciting, and we're going to talk about that in our last segment. And we'll take your calls. Would love to hear from you, give you that number a little bit later into the broadcast. Well, unfortunately, as I said, the House of Representatives passed the so-called Equality Act today. The vote was 236 to 173, unanimous support from the Democratic caucus. It's anti-life, anti-woman, anti-religious freedom, anti-parental rights, not to mention that it will torpedo girls' sports and all-female athletic competition, potentially. And we'll explain. That's what we're doing here. We're going to tell you why the bill does all that sort of thing. In total, eight Republicans crossed the aisle to support that legislation, and I'm going to name them. I'm going to tell you who they are so that if you happen to be in their district, you can let them know what you think about this. The Republican congressman who betrayed their party platform includes Susan Brooks of Indiana, Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Will Hurd of Texas, John Katko of New York, Tom Reed of New York, Elise Stefanik of New York, and Greg Walden of Oregon. If you live in one of their states, you might want to give them a call. The number is 202-224-3121. Joining me to talk about this news is Republican Congressman Brian Babin. He didn't vote for it. He represents the 36th District of Texas, and he serves on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee as well as the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Congressman Babin, welcome to Washington Watch. Good to have you here.
It's great to be with you, Evan. It's just very sad that we have to sit here and talk about something that happened in the People's House today that absolutely I never expected to see in my entire life.
Well, I want to start out, Congressman Babin, I want to start out with some audio from the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, because I think this reveals what the true motivation of those folks is. Greg, would you roll that first cut for us?
When people say to me, it's easy for you to be for some of these things because you're from San Francisco, people are so tolerant there. I say, tolerant? That's a condescending word to me. This is not about tolerance. This is about respect of our LGBTQ community. This is about taking pride. And that is what we do today. This is an historic, transformative moment.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. Well, Congressman, it's not tolerance they want. I mean, that's what they've been preaching this whole time is tolerance. And in the old days, tolerance meant that, you know, there may have been somebody who was doing something that you didn't agree with, you didn't like, but you put up with it. But now that has changed completely. It's not tolerance. It's not even affirmation. We're getting to forced celebration here, aren't we?
Well, we're getting the intolerance. I mean, it's what the bottom line is, this bill would have made for intolerance across this nation and would have codified it so that if you had any kind of freedom of thought, freedom of religion, it would have definitely violated that First Amendment. And, you know, I'm a healthcare provider. I'm a dentist. And what this would have done to parental rights, to your profession of taking the Hippocratic Oath and to do no harm to your patients. This thing is so rife with so many aspects that would have been terrible for the freedom and liberties that we as Americans have enjoyed for over 240 years. It's just not even funny. And, this will never see the light of day in the U.S. Senate, and certainly President Trump would not even bother to read this thing if it reached his desk. But nevertheless, it would have absolutely reversed the strides and the movement forward that women have made over the last decades for women's rights. I'm a father of three daughters and two sons, and have 15 grandchildren, eight of which are granddaughters. I don't want to see this go backwards, and it would have absolutely destroyed women's athletics at the high school and junior high and even up in the collegiate. And we've seen that in Connecticut, where you've got a biological man, running against women, and he just thinks of himself as a woman. And so these people just automatically think that that's the way you think, that's what you are. And then the man walks away with the gold medal. And it's costing a lot of serious-minded athletic women the chance for, athletic scholarships and the honors that they would get by competition. But that's just the tip of the iceberg here, Eben. It's forcing parents and physicians to treat children who have this so-called gender dysphoria. These are little kids. Little kids are confused when they grow up. And so often, many of these children who think of themselves as, a girl thinks of herself as a tomboy, or a little boy thinks of himself as a girl, dresses up like a girl. And does that mean that they need to go and have a complete sex change, that they're going to start identifying themselves as the opposite sex, and have a physician, for goodness sakes, to start administering, prepubescent puberty delaying drugs, which oftentimes cause lasting problems, sterility. It's just incredible, that this would have been the law here.
Well, it seems like, and I say, when I say we, I mean not we, but it seems like the collective minds of this country, we've lost our mind when we start doing things like this. 10 years ago, there were some suggestions that perhaps we were heading down this road, but now it's just gotten completely nuts. Congressman, I want to read a portion of a release from Tony Perkins, who typically hosts this broadcast, and I know he would love to be here to talk about what happened today. This is from a release that just came out not too long ago. He said, teachers are already being fired for using the, quote, wrong pronoun. Girls are already being violated in restrooms and changing rooms and bathrooms. Shop owners are already being driven out of business for their beliefs. Female athletes are already losing scholarships and competitions to biological males. And, Congressman, you just mentioned that example. Taxpayers are already bankrolling abortion. Doctors, nurses, and therapists are already handcuffed into violating their conscience. Religious charities are already closing their doors because the government wants to force them to change their standards. And here's where the nuttiness is. America is already catering to the 0.6% at the expense of the other 99.4%. This would just give the government more painful tools to punish nonconformers. It sounds a little like North Korea, doesn't it?
It most certainly does. As being a member of the minority in the House of Representatives now, as a Republican, we get we get one last chance to offer an amendment on one of these types of bills and force a vote by the full House, and that's called the motion to recommit. And on this bill, we used our amendment, our chance to vote at least to protect the gender roles in NCAA athletics, which, as you and I both said just a second ago, will simply destroy women's athletics. And the Democrats even voted that down. And you know, I think, Evan, this is just another example of the absolute extreme proposals and staking out a ground way, way out of bounds, so far out of the mainstream in America. This is going to hurt them. It has to. The Green New Deal, open borders, abolishing ICE, on and on and on. Abortion on demand, even an infanticide and a baby who's born during an abortion. These are the kind of things that I believe that America are going to sit up and say, hey, do I want to have the government take over my health care and abolish my private insurance that I'm enjoying and the doctor I like? These are all things that I believe that Americans are going to sit up and say, I don't think so, you know.
Absolutely. Congressman, let me just make sure we have time here. I want to play a cut from a good friend of ours and one of your great colleagues, Congresswoman Vicky Hartzler. Greg, go ahead and play that cut. It's a contrast to what Pelosi just said a few minutes ago.
Contrary to what has just been said on the floor, this bill does not end discrimination. In fact, the Equality Act imposes a top-down, government-led discrimination against all Americans who hold a differing view of human sexuality and gender. This grossly misnamed bill punishes everyday citizens, silences free speech and viewpoint disagreements, and discriminates against people of faith. In reality, this bill should be called the Women's Inequality Act. The policies of H.R. 5 have already been used to trample female athletics, eliminate safe spaces for women, harm children, terminate parental rights, and undermine the free exercise of religious freedom. The legislation also provides for a universal right to abortion, compromises taxpayers' safeguards against funding abortion, and eliminates conscience protections for health care providers who do not want to participate in an abortion.
Congressman Babin, about 30 seconds here. Tell us where it goes from here.
Well, it's not going anywhere. And you know, I couldn't say more about the courageous statements and stance of Vicky Hartzler, a very dear friend and a very champion of life here in her, not only her district, but across the country. You know, the Democrats won the House by running their so-called moderates. And this vote makes it very, very clear that the agenda is being set and the shots are being called by the most radical left elements of their party. And when the vote came down, every single Democrat voted for this. And I think that shows
That's
you
right.
where the so-called moderates are. And
they
it's
aren't.
Not going anywhere. The Senate's not going to take it up. And as I said earlier, the president would never sign something
thank
like
you.
That.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time today. Well, next up, going to be talking with Republican Missouri Senator Bob Onder about the super strong pro-life bill that just was voted on today in the state of Missouri.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Glad you're with us this afternoon. Welcome back to the Friday edition of Washington Watch. Eben Fowler with Bot Radio Network sitting in today for Tony Perkins. Well, with more and more conservative states enacting protective pro-life legislation, Republican lawmakers in Missouri, the state where I live, passed a bill that aims to make the state one of the strongest pro-life states in the country. Early Thursday morning, Missouri's Republican-controlled Senate voted 24-10 to pass the bill, HB 126, which would ban abortions at 8 weeks of pregnancy. And today, this afternoon, the bill passed. I think it was this afternoon. It may have been this morning. The bill passed the Republican-controlled House. Next step is to send it to Republican Governor Mike Parson for his signature, and he's promised to sign it. With us now is Missouri State Senator Bob Onder to tell us about this great news. Senator Onder, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Abbott. It's great to be on.
Well, and it's great to be, for me, to live in a state that passed an incredible bill like this. When did the House pass it? What time of day was it today that that happened?
It was late morning. I think it was about 11 a.m. Central Time, and what a great time it was in the history of our state, Evan. We really went to work on this bill back in January. It grew and evolved. It really became an accumulation of a number of terrific pro-life legislative efforts that have been taking place over years. But most importantly, House Bill 126 it contained the Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act, which, as you mentioned, would protect unborn children from the time they have a heartbeat at about 8 weeks. But it's actually quite a bit more extensive than some of the heartbeat bills that have passed other states, because it has a series of protections at various levels, various stages of pregnancy, coupled with both factual, medical, and legislative findings that I believe can help bolster this bill when it is inevitably challenged by the pro-abortion industry.
Tell us about some of the provisions in the bill. What does it do? And if you could, contrast it with the Alabama bill that we've been hearing so much about the last couple of days.
Yeah, what the Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act would do is create a series of protections at 8 weeks, the time at which babies have detectable heartbeats on ultrasounds, and then at 14 weeks, the age at which babies are typically aborted, using that very brutal technique known as dismemberment abortion. And then at 20 weeks, the age at which babies indisputably can feel pain. So if there is a court finding that, let's say, the 8-week ban is not constitutionally acceptable, we have fallback positions. So we want to protect as many unborn children as we can. And again, I think what the other thing we did that that Alabama didn't do was to create a list of legislative interests based on constitutional law, as well as medical findings about the age at which babies feel pain and the age at which babies undergoing fetal surgery are given anesthesia. So I think we have a number of things that can result in the bill being upheld where maybe previous laws have not been.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more complicated. It has something that, you know, if you're a lawyer, you know what this word means. It's severability, meaning that if one part of the bill is held unconstitutional or whatever they want to, however they want to defeat it, the other pieces
yes.
stand, and they have to kind of go after each one individually. Is that correct understanding?
That is correct, and that is really important. And severability is a really important concept, not only in laws pertaining to abortion and sanctity of life, but in any bill that's of any degree of complexity. You don't want one minor provision to strike down the whole bill.
Right, exactly. Well, what do you attribute the great bill that just passed today in Missouri and the other bills that have been passing in Georgia, Mississippi, Ohio, Alabama? What started all this? I know the answer, but just so our listeners know, what started all this?
Yeah, I really think, Eben, you know that some states back east have not been moving in the direction of protecting life and the sanctity of innocent human life. In Virginia, we had a physician, the governor, talk about basically babies being left to die or even killed if they were born after an abortion. And in New York City, they were lighting up skyscrapers with pink lights, celebrating a law that would allow abortion up to the 9th month of pregnancy, up until the day the baby is born. So while states, some states have been really moving to threaten innocent human life and undermine the sanctity of life, Missouri, being a pro-life state, being a conservative state, we decided to move in quite the opposite direction and to do everything we can to protect the weakest among us, innocent unborn children.
No, thank you so much for this great work. I want to read a couple of quick things here before we wrap up this segment. The silly people at the ACLU said this was their tweet that came out this morning. Missouri just joined 5 other states this year in voting to ban abortion. Missouri's law will be stopped by the courts, just like Georgia, Ohio, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Alabama's. We all have a constitutional right to abortion, and we will fight for it. And then Planned Parenthood, of course, you know, they're we know all about them, don't we? And here was their tweet. We, period, will, period, not, period, stop, period, fighting, period. That's way too many periods for one sentence. But
You wonder who taught them English. Yeah.
Well, English and science, too, in both cases, because you mentioned science just a minute ago. You know, the Democrats are voting all the same way as and apparently they haven't cracked open a science book in maybe about 3 decades, because the science, if you look at it, indicates what's going on, doesn't it? In about 30 seconds here, Senator.
Yes, there's no question that when Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973, we did not have the understanding of embryology, of fetal development, and of obstetrics we do today. Technology and science lead us more and more to be convinced of the humanity of the unborn child and the need to protect innocent human life. And that's what we're doing here in Missouri.
Absolutely. Senator Bob Onder, thanks for the great work that you and your colleagues have done in Missouri. Let's keep up the great work and appreciate your time today. Well, coming up next, we'll talk about the latest in the developing tensions between Iran and America with our good friend, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He's the Executive Vice President at Family Research Council. We'll be right back after this break. Please stay with us.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Evan Fowler from Bot Radio Network filling in today for Tony Perkins. Glad to be here and fill his shoes, or at least attempt to do that. Well, two U.S. guided missile destroyers entered the Persian Gulf yesterday without incident, as the likelihood of an armed confrontation between Iran and the U.S. appears, fortunately, less likely. The USS McFall and the USS Gonzales transited the Strait of Hormuz in the late afternoon local time without challenge from Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps Navy, the sectarian military force responsible for Iran's coastal defense and operations in the strait. Joining me now to give us some insight into what's going on right now in the Middle East is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, give us a kind of an overview for those maybe who have not been following this story. What precipitated all this? And to your knowledge, what's going on right now?
Well, you have to go back probably 2 to 3 weeks. The U.S. intelligence community received some very, I think, alarming intelligence that was verified that said that the Iranians were targeting American interest in Iraq. They were targeting specifically Americans to try and kill us, some Americans, in a variety of different types of attacks. And that was based on the fact that Donald Trump had declared the IRGC and its sub-element, the Quds Force, a terrorist organization, which they indeed are and have been ever since their creation. And in response to that, the Iranians, according to the intelligence that was intercepted, the Iranians were going to target Americans and try to kill some Americans. The response of putting ships out into the Gulf there and bringing those frigates up through the Straits of Hormuz was really a reaction to that, to send a very strong message to the Iranian mullahs that America is not going to tolerate you targeting and harming Americans. So I think that it was a very strong message. I think they've got the message. I do not think that this is going to wind up in a shooting conflict.
Well, there was some talk, and I think it was Nancy Pelosi who was saying, well, you know, we have to authorize war. What was all that about, going back and forth? Was that just Pelosi trying to be a tough gal or what?
Yeah, she's got a short memory. She got other problems, too, but I think she has a short memory. Barack Obama went to war in Libya. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
He never had any kind of consultation with the Congress, let alone congressional approval. The President of the United States does not need congressional approval. He does to declare war. The Congress declares war. But to commit U.S. forces, he has what they call the War Powers Act. He can commit those forces, and then he has, it's either 60 or 90 days that he either has to get congressional approval or he has to withdraw the forces. In the case of Barack Obama, he deployed forces without any consultation with the Congress, and then when they called the War Powers Act on him, he said, that's unconstitutional, I'm not going to abide by it, and he kept troops and airplanes and so forth in that part of the world and continued bombing Gaddafi's targets.
All I can tell you is I'm glad I didn't take any of Obama's constitutional classes because I would have failed the test, the real test for sure. Just you'd mentioned the credible threat and why we're moving these ships around. Apparently, a UK major general disputed that the intelligence. Where are we on that? I mean, obviously, somebody didn't agree that we had a credible threat.
Well, that is entirely possible that what he was reflecting on was the intelligence that the British have collected. And that does, you know, normally we share things with the British, but, you know, not everything. And that because we have to protect sources and methods. And it is very likely that the British did not have this intelligence. They don't have the sophisticated collection capabilities that we do. So I don't think that it was a diplomatic faux pas or anything like that. I think you guy was probably telling the truth. The British did not have that information.
Yeah, that seems a little bit out of place for him to say something like that, but that's just my opinion. Well, General, we just have a couple of minutes left. What do you think we need to do in relation to Iran right now? What's your sense of the relationship right at the moment?
The sanctions are hurting them. The sanctions are hurting them bad. I just met with a guy last week that lives in Tehran. He's an American, and he said the sanctions are really hurting them. We need to keep the pressure on by not only maintaining the sanctions, but increasing the sanctions if their behavior does not change, because it is, in fact, hurting them bad right now. And look, what this guy told me very clearly was, over 60% of the people are below the age of 30. They are not with their government. They don't support the mullahs.
Well, that definitely helps. Well, General Boykin, thanks for taking time. I know that you're at a meeting and you had to step out of that meeting to be with us today. So thanks so much. Good talking with you again.
Good being with you. Thank you.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Eben Fowler with Bot Radio Network filling in today for Tony Perkins. Coming up next, North Korea is the most oppressive place for Christians to live in the world, according to the Open Doors World Watch List. I'll be talking with Wayne Peterson from Far East Broadcasting Company about some very exciting news for North Korean Christians and North Korea in general. Please don't miss this next segment and opportunities for you to call in if you'd like to, right here on Washington Watch.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. end birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, our final segment for this Friday. Evan Fowler with Bot Radio Network in for Tony Perkins today. If you'd like to call in on any of the topics that we've talked about, the Equality Act, the abortion bans, whatever, or the subject we're going to be talking about right now, here's the number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We'll see if we can get you into the program today. Well, North Korea fired two short-range missiles on May 9th in its second weapons test within that week. And the U.S. Justice Department announced on May 10th that the United States had seized a North Korean cargo vessel it said was involved in the illicit shipping of coal in violation of international sanctions, raising tensions between the two countries. Those increased tensions come amid a gridlock in dialogue after the second summit between Kim and U.S. President Donald Trump collapsed over U.S. demands for Pyongyang's nuclear disarmament and Kim's demands for relief from sanctions. It's an amazing backdrop for the exciting work of the Far East Broadcasting Company, which has plans to build a 250,000-watt Christian station in South Korea, which will be able to cover, get this, the entire country of North Korea with the message of the gospel of Christ. Joining me now is Wayne Peterson. He's the former president of Reach Beyond and former chairman of National Religious Broadcasters. He's an ambassador for the Far East Broadcasting Company, and they're marking their 73rd anniversary, proclaiming the gospel to some of the most remote parts of the world. Wayne, it is great to have you on Washington Watch.
Well, Evan, what an honor to be on with you today. And, you know, what a time to be a talk show host with all that's going on. Never a shortage of information and things to talk about. Sounds like you've had a busy day. And, you know, when you're talking about North Korea, I'm reading Joel Rosenberg's book, The Persian Gamble, and it makes all of this North Korea and Iran stuff very, very real. And it's time to, you know, we know that our armament, it's a spiritual warfare, and we have the spiritual armament we can use in this battle.
That's right. Well, tell us about this new station. I want to hear about it. And being in radio, it's very exciting to me. But so where is it going to be built and when's it going to be built?
Well, Evan, we're both kind of radio nerds, so this kind of stuff really turns us on, especially in a place like North Korea. Kim Jong-un has made these threats against the United States. But what he's really trying to do is wipe out any trace of Christianity in this country and making himself God. But I think he's met his match with the power of Christian radio, because we have these plans to put a superstation in that will reach all of North Korea. Now, Evan, this is a medium wave. We know it as AM. Medium wave, high power, 250,000-watt transmitter. Now, the most power you can be licensed for in the United States is 50,000 watts. This is 250,000 watts that will beam the gospel of Jesus Christ deep into North Korea, reaching the entire, what's called the Hermit Kingdom, because they're so cut off from the rest of the world, reach their Hermit Kingdom with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's going to be based in South Korea. And we had the fortune of having land donated to us on the west coast of North Korea and just south of the demilitarized zone. And the signal will go out from this transmitting site, skip across the water a little bit, and then go into all of North Korea with the gospel.
And so what's the plan in terms of a timeline? Is it under construction now, or when do you anticipate actually being able to turn on the transmitter and go on the air?
We have secured the site, and so that's a biggie right there. Obviously, you can't go to Walmart and buy a $250,000, 200,000-watt transmitter off the shelf. So the transmitter is being ordered. It'll be constructed and shipped. We're looking at sometime late 2019, late this year. It's a little hard to predict and have a definite time, but we, God willing, definitely hope to be on the air by the end of the year, broadcasting in North Korea with 250,000 watts.
That's great. Well, having built a number of radio stations myself, the AMs, of course, take a fair amount more time to build. They're more complicated to put together.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, so it takes a while. But that's great. By the end of this year, what is the – well, first of all, let me back up just a little bit. For our listeners who are not familiar with Far East Broadcasting Company, tell us all about what it does, how long it's been around, maybe some of the countries where you can tell me that you broadcast into, and what kind of programming.
Well, it's a wonderful ministry. Actually, next year is our 75th anniversary, and it started with Bob Bowman back in the day, broadcasting out of the Philippines into China. And FEBC still has a very strong radio outreach via shortwave all across China. And as closed and as much persecution as there is in China, we know there are hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people listening to the programming via shortwave. But it's expanded beyond that in Mongolia, Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam, Cambodia, those countries, as well as going into Central Asia, into Pakistan. And they had two radio stations in Russia, which had been shut down by the government, by the way. But we still have millions of people downloading their content off of the Internet and social media. We have seven radio stations in Ukraine. And so God has opened up these incredible doors all across on the other side of the world for us to use AM, FM, shortwave, and now the incredible tools that God has given us with social media, internet, podcasting, streaming, cloud technology, satellite technology. So, for example, in Russia, we get 1 million responses a year from online listeners. Korea, 10 million responses online. Mongolia, two decades ago, had 20 Christians that we could identify. Today, there are 40,000 believers in Mongolia, and FEBC operates about 10 radio stations in that part of the world. But we've had an FM station in South Korea, which was, as you may know, was recently destroyed by a terrible fire. And that FM station in South Korea is currently off the air, and we're trying to raise money to rebuild that station because it does get into North Korea. But this new AM station, the superstation, will definitely cover all of North Korea with the gospel.
Now, Open Doors has placed North Korea at the very top of their worst place to live if you're a Christian. It's been on that list for 18 years in a row. Can you tell us some of the things that make North Korea so oppressive to Christians?
Well, as I said, Kim Jong-un is trying to stamp out Christianity, any vestige of Christianity, making himself as God. Pastors and ministry workers are imprisoned, beaten, killed, or exported. Sometimes these followers of Jesus, they don't have to be pastors. They just disappear for no reason and no explanation, and nobody knows what happens to them. Many have escaped and are refugees from North Korea into South Korea. So there are fewer and fewer believers there because of all the outright persecution that has scattered Christians. Ironically, Evan, that many of the refugees from North Korea are the very ones that would be producing programming that will be broadcast from this superstation in North Korea. These are pastors, ministry leaders, followers of Jesus that are being trained to prepare, produce, and present radio programming. And the programming will be about family, marriage, children, finance, but primarily it will be the message of Jesus Christ, how Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, to forgive us our sins, and to give us eternity with God in heaven forever. That's the core of the message of FEBC, always has been, always will be. So we will be using Koreans that know the language and know the culture, and they know the issues that North Koreans are facing. They will be the ones that will be speaking to their friends and family and compatriots back in North Korea.
Oh, boy, that is so wise. That is perfect. What a great way to do it. I'm talking with Wayne Peterson. He's with FEBC, Far East Broadcasting Company. If you'd like to call in, our number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Wayne, one of the things that I wanted to know is, okay, this is an AM station. How many North Koreans have AM radios?
Well, North Korea is a very backwards and very impoverished country. Most of the funding in this very poor economy goes to the government and goes to the military and goes to the lavish lifestyle of North Korean leadership. The people have nothing. They have very little food. They have little or no medical help, little education in the way of clothing and housing. It's very, very limited. They don't have computers. They don't have cell phones. They probably don't have shortwave radios or FM radios. But as you know, Evan, AM is the oldest radio technology out there. And most everyone, no matter how poor, have a simple AM radio, probably with earphones plugged in, with which they can hear AM broadcasts. That's why we've chosen AM, because the poorest of the poor have this very old technology. But we know, those of us in AM radio, it's very powerful. The signal at night skips and goes on forever. And this is really the best means to reach inside the country from the outside, using internationally what we call medium wave radio, but what we in U.S. know as AM radio.
Right. Is there any way that the North Korean government could block that signal?
I'm told that the frequency of the signal and the power, the wattage of the signal, makes it virtually uninterruptible. I mean, there are places in the world where radio signals are blocked, but I'm told by engineers and technology people far smarter than me that this signal is almost impossible to block.
Well, that's great. Well, I want to just take a sharp turn here, Wayne. We have a caller who wants to talk about a topic that we discussed earlier in the program. Then we'll jump back to we'll wrap up the program with a couple questions, sure, or at least one more question I have for you. Travis is on the line from Kentucky. Travis, you wanted to talk about the Alabama abortion ban. If you're there, Travis, are you on the line? Okay, well, let's just go on. Wayne, what I wanted to ask you, Wayne, was how much is it going to cost to build this station in South Korea that's going to emanate all across and cover the entire country of North Korea? What's the cost going to be?
Well, we're seeking to raise $250,000 to get the project going. And I think that's a fair estimate of that, but that's where we're at right now to get the transmitter. Studio equipment will be very basic and very minimal. But the big cost is going to be the transmitters and antennas that will power this. So we're looking six figures, definitely, a basic starting price of about $250,000, which is a big goal for an organization our size. But, you and I know that put AM radio stations on, it could be higher with unanticipated costs. But the figure we're using in this campaign, and you can find out more about on our website, is $250,000, $250,000. Well, that's just a dollar a watt, come to think about it. That's not too bad.
Right. Not bad. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of money to most of us, but for what that station is going to be able to do, that's nothing. And God can provide that. So let me just, for our listeners, if this idea, if this project is something that excites you, it excites me, you can go to febc.org, febc.org. There's a banner there that says, "Incredible opportunity to reach millions in North Korea for Christ." FEBC.org. And if you'd like to help out with this effort to help fund this project, I'm sure Wayne wouldn't mind, right?
Well, absolutely. And I know that so many of your listeners want to change lives, change cultures, and change our world. And this is what it's about. It's about changing individual lives. But even that, as individual lives are being changed and the Christians grow, and they pray for courage. You know, Evan, if I lived there, I'd be praying for protection every single day. Those believers pray for courage and endurance, that they'll be able to endure and be strong and be bold. And we want to come alongside of them and help them. And, politically, we may not be able to change Kim Jong-un, but we can change North Korea through the proclamation of the gospel through radio, and it's a very timely and important and strategic opportunity we have to make a real difference in our world.
Well, I've got the perfect caller up here on the board, Wayne. It's Marie from Louisiana, and she's asking, Marie, I'll let you go ahead and ask your question of Wayne. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know what the average American can do to help. I mean, besides praying for everybody, even Kim, he can be God can change his heart. What can the average American do? How can we help you?
Wayne, there you go.
Well, you mentioned prayer. And, Alfred Lord Tennyson said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. So, we need to. He tells us to pray for our enemies. And King Jong-un is really an enemy, but we need to pray for him. We need to pray that God would strengthen the believers and protect them. We need to pray that there would be a mighty revival of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of people in Korea. And we need to pray that this radio station would penetrate the gospel. And we can do something very tangible by giving. I guess the two answers I would be willing to offer is to pray fervently and then give generously. And then let's see what God can do with what we offer.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Well, Wayne, this is just, it's an exciting project. If you just jumped onto the broadcast here, talking with Wayne Peterson of Far East Broadcasting Company, and we're talking about a 250,000-watt radio station that would be located in South Korea that will reach all of North Korea. Wayne, let me give that website one more time for those who might want to help. We've got very little time left here. By the way, let me thank you for being on the broadcast today. It's febc.org, febc.org. Look for the banner that says "Incredible Opportunity to Reach Millions in North Korea for Christ." Evan Fowler sitting in for Tony Perkins. Thanks for listening to Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.